Believe it or not, both last week's Gospel from St. John and this week's Gospel from St. Luke took place on the same evening, Easter evening. However, the writers chose to emphasize different things, and eventually, through some deduction and reasoning, you can weave the stories together. Both of them give you a much fuller picture of the apostles in the moments after Jesus was raised from the dead. The first 24 hours, to be specific. Today's gospel actually happened first. Two disciples, one specifically named Cleophas, and one who is anonymous, were leaving Jerusalem, heading home after the Passover celebration. Scripture scholars believe that St. Luke got this story from Cleophas himself, who happens to be Jesus' uncle. Uncle? Really? The proof is in the Passion in St. John's Gospel, read on Good Friday, and it says, at the foot of the cross was Mary, Jesus' mother, and Mary's sister, the wife of Cleophas. I never knew that. In fact, the early church fathers tell us Cleophas was the father of James, Simon, and Jude, all who went on to become bishops in the early church. At the end of this gospel, after they encountered Jesus, the two immediately returned to Jerusalem, where they found the apostles gathered, minus Thomas, in the locked upper room. Simon was talking about seeing the Lord, and Cleophas relayed their story as well. And while discussing their encounter, if you read past this week's gospel, you see Jesus appearing in the locked room saying, "Peace be with you." Both gospel writers report the apostles not recognizing the risen body of Christ. And Jesus invites them to see the wounds of his crucifixion. In resurrected form, Jesus could pass through locked doors, appear and disappear at will, actually consume food, and was no longer bound by space or time. Many people focus on the road to Emmaus. I want to focus on the supper at Emmaus. When Jesus sits at table with them, he does four things. He took the bread, blessed the bread, broke the bread, and gave the bread to them. And this is not the first time Jesus has done this in the presence of his apostles. He initially did this when he fed the 5,000. He also is reenacting what he did on Holy Thursday evening. And that's when Cleophas and his companions' eyes were opened. They recognized Jesus in his resurrected form. And then what happened? Jesus disappeared. But why did Jesus do that when they asked him to stay with them. Jesus doesn't refuse those types of invitations. I think the real answer to that question is more profound. Jesus is trying to redirect their eyes, their vision, to the way he is going to be with them from now on, which is in the Eucharist, the breaking of bread. So he does answer their prayer. He will remain with them, but in a different way. In his new way, he can be with them and us always, even until the end of time. Jesus isn't limited to Emmaus. He can be in Jerusalem, he can be in Galilee, he can be in Rome, all at the same time. So every Sunday in the liturgy, we are reliving the same experience of the disciples during the supper at Emmaus. Jesus is present to us in the same way he was present to Cleophas and in the same way he was present to the apostles in the locked upper room. To encounter the risen Christ during Mass, it's important that we follow the same pattern. The Catechism in 1346 gives the structure of the Mass in two parts, taken from this Sunday's Gospel. First, the Liturgy of the Word, and second, the Liturgy of the Eucharist. And we need both parts. The only way these disciples seen Jesus in the breaking of the bread is because he prepared their hearts by teaching them through the word. Most Christians believe it's just bread. We as Catholics believe that Jesus, not bound by space or time, is actually present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the bread we receive at Mass. And why is it important for us to stay close to Christ in the Eucharist? One needs to go no further than the second reading from 1 Peter. There's two important points from that reading we all need to ponder. First, he says, God will judge us by our works. I believe we gain strength to accomplish these works through frequent reception of the Eucharist. Peter also tells us that we were ransomed from the power of death by Christ's blood. And remember the ancient belief that blood was a life-giving force of everyone. And because of this great act that Jesus has done for us, we should show reverence to Christ, our Redeemer, for this action. Just like the disciples from Emmaus, we are all on a journey as well, one to walk with Christ on a daily basis. As we're in our third week of Easter, let's participate in Jesus' supper at Emmaus, receiving the Eucharist to strengthen us on our journey. And you can do this on a daily basis if you need the encouragement and the strength. In fact, the best summary of this week's scriptures comes from St. Pope John Paul II in his encyclical on the Eucharist and the Church, when he writes, "In the humble signs of bread and wine, changed into his body and blood, Christ walks beside us as our strength, our food for the journey, and he enables us to become, for everyone, witnesses of hope."